Let's take our Bibles and turn tonight to the book of Luke. I told Brother Grizzle a while ago, we were just fellowshipping a minute before church. I said, you know, a few Sunday nights back, Brother Brian was preaching about saluting and welcoming people. And I'm so proud of you all. You're doing a great job just getting around people and meeting people. And I'm proud of you. And one of the reasons I'm going to preach what I'm preaching tonight is you received that so well. And that always encourages a pastor, amen, when the Word of God is received. You say, well, how can you tell whether people receive it or not when they do it? When people actually do what they're hearing, it means that it means something to them, and they wanted to obey it. And I want to look at a text tonight, and some of the things tonight that I'll say are to challenge us again. And I'm going to call the message tonight, and you'll understand when I read the text, it's going to be called Getting from the Comfort Zone to the Compelling Zone. How do we get from our comfort zone as Christians to that zone where we could compel others to come into God's house, to come to Christ, where we could compel others to make preparation for a place called heaven? In Luke chapter 14 and verse number 16, let's listen to what Jesus said here. Then said he unto him, Jesus has given a parable. We know that he spake in parables to help us to, on earth, understand spiritual truths, heavenly truths. And he's speaking a parable here, and he said, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. How many of y'all know what the word bade means? It just means he invited them. He asked them to come to his supper. And he sent his servant at supper time. I could about shout right there, Brother Anthony. You was talking about in that song, it makes me want to shout. Honey, it's about supper time for God's youngins. I can tell you that right now. It's upon us, amen. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent, and I guess that just means all at the same time, they begin to make excuses. And the first said, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs to go and see it. I think about when I read that, man, I just think I'd want to look at a piece of ground before I bought it. I don't think I'd want to buy it and then go see it. Amen. I mean, that's just me. He said, I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Now, that one, because of what my boy does, I can understand a little bit better. He has actually developed a good relationship with men in the cattle industry to where he can trust them. He don't have to go see. They describe how much they weigh. They describe what's been done to them. And he can buy cattle sight unseen. And so I can understand that one a little bit better. And then the last one said, another said, I've married a wife. And he didn't even ask for excuse. He just said, I can't come. Therefore, I cannot come. So the servant came and he showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, you ought to underline these two words right here, being angry. There are some things that even today make the Lord angry. The Word of God said that God is angry with the wicked. He's such a Savior that He can be angry with the wicked and yet love the sinner. Even when the rich young ruler, when Jesus told him what he needed to do, I believe, Was I listening to you on Brother Brian? Did you teach on that a little while back? Did you teach on that a little while? I don't know where I heard that then. He's looking at me funny, so it must not have been him. Amen. But that rich young ruler, but the Bible said that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Even though he knew his heart and he knew he wouldn't come to Christ, his riches was keeping him from Christ. The Bible said, being angry, he said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And I just want to stop and say this tonight. I thank my God that everyone's welcome in our church. I do, I do, I do. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. We've done this. We went out for the poor. We went out and got the maimed. We went out and got the halt. We went out and got the blind. And there's still room. Look around you tonight. There's still room. There's still room. And the word of God said then, and the Lord said unto his servant, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. It's going to be a little bit different tonight. But I want to challenge our hearts tonight. See if we can't get from the comfort zone. Everybody's got one. Say amen. To the compelling zone. Some churches, Brother Grizzle, are comfortable without a mission program. What a shame that is. Amen. To be comfortable while the world, lost, dying without God, goes to hell. They don't have a mission program. May the Lord speak to our heart tonight. Father, I need your help. It would be easy, Lord, tonight to be misunderstood. Please, our God, help me, Lord, in the spirit that you've delivered this in my heart to deliver it to the hearts of our precious people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I have some things I want to share with you tonight. It's a simple message. A couple of thoughts on my heart, on my mind. I read this today, said over and over again, we read about men and women in the Bible who did great things for God. It didn't say that they were great men and women. Actually, they were just ordinary men and women that did great things for God. David was just an ordinary man. Nehemiah was just an ordinary man. Gideon, actually in his day, was even what you would call less than an ordinary man. Had a very poor upbringing. And yet God used him. Peter was just an ordinary fisherman. Lots of times we think, man, that guy's a great man. Actually, he's just a man that did great things for God. I don't think that we should consider ourselves. There's several preachers here tonight. Great preachers. But what we ought to do is just say, I'm a man that wants to accomplish great things for God. And by the way, when somebody comes to know Jesus, you tell me a greater thing if you know of it. Amen. Amen. Somebody looking for a miracle, I tell you, I thank God I don't have to look any further than the mirror. Amen. The Lord saved me. What a miracle salvation is. Men and women, Noah, David, Jonah. Brother Brian was teaching us about Jonah this morning. He said, well, preacher, he did great things. He had a second chance. Yeah. And by the way, some of us wouldn't even be sitting here tonight if it wasn't for a second chance. Yeah. And a third. And you could go right on from there. And so tonight I want us to see some things that I believe will be a help in our lives to get us from the comfort zone to the compelling zone. When I looked at this passage of Scripture, it reminded me of something, and I got on the internet and looked it up. the Kingsmen Quartet years ago. I can't remember where I heard them sing this. I don't believe it was the Kingsmen that I heard sing it. They made the song popular or famous. But I believe it was Don and Earl at Landmark Baptist Church, two men that sang together, that I heard sing it. And the song was called Excuses. How many of y'all have ever heard that song, Excuses? Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it, but let me tell you what it says. Excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. And the devil, he'll supply them if from church you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Now we're going to be applying some things here tonight. In the summer, it's too hot, and in the winter, it's too cold. And in the springtime, when the weather's just right, you find someplace else to go. Well, it's up to the mountains or down to the beach or to visit some old friend or just stay home and kind of relax and hope that some of the kin folks come dropping in. Well, the church benches are too hard, and that choir sings way too loud. Boy, you know how nervous you get when you get sitting in a great big crowd. The doctor told you. Now, you better watch them crowds. They'll set you back. But you go to that old ball game because you say it helps you to relax. Well, a headache Sunday morning and a backache Sunday night. But by work time Monday morning, you're feeling quite all right. While one of the children has a cold, pneumonia, do you suppose? Why, the whole family had to stay home just to blow that poor kid's nose. Yeah. Excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. And the devil, he'll supply them if from church you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Comfort zones. I'm not trying to be mean tonight at all. But one thing that's become evident to me in 28 years of preaching the gospel is many people are comfortable with one service a week. That's their comfort zone. They're comfortable with that. Many people are comfortable even in an invitation to get up, ease on out. The main part's over with, I reckon, they think. Can I tell you something? When the Holy Spirit of God's dealing with people's hearts, the main part's just beginning. That ought to be the thrust of the whole thing. Many people are comfortable without reading their Bible. Many people are comfortable without praying. Many people are comfortable in our generation. And I want to try to challenge us tonight. I don't know where our comfort zone is. There's some people that we're doing our best in our visitation program to make it where everybody can have a part that wants a part. Not, it's not rigid. It's not something that you have to do this or there's nothing to do at all. And I was thinking about gospel tracts. Some people are comfortable to hand out a gospel tract. Some people are comfortable to maybe leave a gospel tract in different places, yet they wouldn't personally hand it to someone. Wherever our comfort zone is tonight, I'm going to ask you to ask God to help us to move just a zone or two towards that compelling zone where we could speak to someone. I'll have some more to say about that later. I believe it'll be a blessing. I really do. When you think about some of the ways that people were used in the Word of God. How many believes tonight that cancer is a terrible, terrible disease? I went to the doctor and the doctor set me down. There are people that have survived cancer that are right here today. And I thank God for that. There are people that have not survived cancer that are in heaven today. Out of our church. But if a doctor looked at me and he said that word, I believe it would be devastating. But I'll tell you what I believe. I believe if somebody come along and said, your brother-in-law's got the cure, I believe I'd be headed over there to my brother-in-law's. But listen to me carefully. I believe if my brother-in-law had the cure and he found out I had cancer, he ought to be headed to me quicker than I'd be headed to him. And tonight, you and I, as God's people, have no idea what the cure for cancer is. I believe they're investing more and more money trying to find a cure. I pray someday they will. But you and I do know what the cure for sin is. There's only one. You say, preacher, everybody knows what the cure for sin is. That's where you're wrong. Everybody doesn't even know that they have the disease, let alone what the cure is. And some have the disease and don't know where it came from. It's like they're living their life and they have no idea why they're in the shape they're in and in the mess they're in. Somebody come along. How many likes a doctor that you can understand? Now, I'm not saying that just about language. I'm talking about speaks and terminology. You know, Brother Brian, he knows the big words, but he knows how to get them down on the shelf where a preacher can understand them. And I like that. And I like a doctor like that that can take it down and break it down for you and help you to understand. And in the spiritual realm, that's the same thing that's needed. Somebody that would just, how many knows that there are doctors that have good, what they call, bedside manners. And there are some doctors, I mean, there's even one around here somewhere, Dr. Slaughter. I hope I can avoid him. Say amen. I don't know Dr. Slaughter, but I'm just saying the name. I'm just picking at the name just a minute. But I believe you and I, we know who Dr. Jesus is. Amen. He is the great physician. He is the only one that can heal sin. There's three things tonight that I want to give you hurriedly that I believe will help us to move from our comfort zone to a compelling zone. Number one, we need to remember when we became a servant. The word of God said right here, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. You say, preacher, how many remembers when you became a servant? I tell you what I believe. I believe it's an impossibility for Christ to come into your heart and life. I believe it's an impossibility for him to come into your, and you just not all of a sudden, you know that life is just not about you, it's about others, and there's a servant spirit and heart born and birthed in you. I believe this scripture right here, that this the servant could be typical of the saints of God. I believe the servant could be typical of the Spirit of God. But how many believe the Spirit of God and the saints of God should be working in unison to compel others to come in? We need to remember when we became a servant. I remember so well when I walked in my pastor's office. Brother Bud Wishon was his name. What a precious pastor he was to me. Took me under his wing. Put two shelves on the wall. Gave me a few books. Put a desk in front of it. And all of a sudden, I had an office in the corner of a Sunday school room. Well, I tell you, God answered a lot of prayers in that corner. God taught me a lot of things in that corner. Matter of fact, in that corner is where God showed me that I would be his pastor one day. I went in Brother Wishon's office and I said, Brother Bud, I said, I didn't come into your office to tell you what I would do and what I wouldn't do. I said, Brother Bud, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. I said, if you need me to mow the grass, I'll mow it. I said, if you need something painted, I'll paint it.
If you need me to drive a van, I'll drive it. Brother Kenny, you reminded me of that when I asked you to pray about it. He looked at me and said, I don't have to pray about it. We'll do it. And you can criticize him for that if you want to, but he just got a big old servant's heart. He just saw something needed to be done. And he wanted to do it. How many lives will be changed? Brother John has said to me over and over, isn't it something how that God had somebody to step right in when Sister Teresa got sick? You think about that. That's not an easy ministry. If you think it is, you try it a Sunday or two. You see how many hours are involved. You see how your heart is broken when you look at the situation the children are in. I said, Brother Bud, if you need me to drive a van, I'll drive. If you need me to teach class, I'll teach it. I said, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. I'll tell you, I was just so tickled. We watched, some of us watched that movie, Sheffy. And Sheffy quickly became famous in that circuit riding that he was doing in the preaching. And somebody run up and said, why you're Brother Sheffy? He said, I'm just a servant of the Lord. How many believes that if we can remember back, Brother David, you remember back when God made you a servant? Brother Houston, you remember back when God put that heart in you? Well, I do. He said, preach, you bragging on yourself? No, you're wrong. I'm bragging on the God that put that kind of heart in me. None of us have that kind of heart without Him. We need to remember when God made us a servant. Secondly, we need to remember there will be a supper. I've read it in the book of the Revelation. Amen. Honey, the marriage of the Lamb has come, the Bible said. Who's going, preacher? Those whose robes are made white in the blood of the Lamb. And so, when we're trying to get from a comfort zone where we're comfortable to a compelling zone where we would actually be able maybe to give someone a piece of literature or invite someone to the house of God or ask someone if they have a need you could help them pray about. And maybe someday even develop to the place where you could take the Bible and just go right down through the Bible and show someone how that they could trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. First thing we need to do is remember when God made us a servant. The second thing we need to do is remember. How many of you have lost loved ones? I found out, I talked to my brother Chris today on the way to church, and I found out that four of my brothers and sisters gathered at Bobby's house for Thanksgiving. And he said, well, preacher, why didn't you go? Well, all them children and grandchildren, we had Thanksgiving at our house, amen. But I'll tell you something, Bobby. When he was talking about it, I missed it. I'd want to think that one of my brothers and sisters, or maybe they missed me being there. Now, we're going to make up for that at Christmas time. We made a decision several years ago, my wife and I, and we told my mom and dad, we just can't do both. We'll either have to do Christmas or do Thanksgiving. So we do Thanksgiving, and then we do Christmas, and we've got that planned for this year, even with our brothers and sisters, mom and dad being in heaven. But that lost loved one that just got on your mind, when supper time comes, would you like to see them? Would you like to see them at the table? Would you like for them to know the peace that you know and have the purpose in life that you have? I believe God is telling us we need to remember. When we became a servant, we need to remember that there will be a supper. And then we need to remember this. We need to remember, not only will they be missing at the table, but we need to remember where the center will be. I don't know about the chronological order of all that. I believe the marriage of the Lamb is announced in Revelation 19. Is that right? And then in Revelation 20, you have the great white throne judgment. And then Revelation 21, you have the scripture where God comes along and wipes all tears away from our eyes. So it could be, just looking at the chronological order of it, that at the supper, I said it could be. I'll not be dogmatic about it, but not only where we'll know, no, they're missing, but we'll know where they are. Because if you're missing at the supper, there's only one other place you can be. And that's in the region of the damned, in a place called hell. So if we'll remember those three things, I believe it will kind of help us and move us from our comfort zone. Brother Grizzle, all that money that's went through this church for all these years went to men and women that one day got out of their comfort zone. Many of them are in AIDS-infested areas. Many of them are in areas where people are so hardened to the gospel. But God didn't say, go into that part of the world that'll receive you. He said, go into all the world. Preach and teach the gospel to every creature. For almost a week and a half, Brother Davis was over here. He just left Friday in our prophet's chamber. And he's in the Bronx in New York. The dear man, Brother Rose, you could help me. Brother Herman, he's in Annapolis, Maryland. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, Bloomingdale is a field that's ripe unto, wide unto harvest, and it's ripe, but we're not living in an area that's so hard like so many of the areas in our nation and in our world. That man's up there with 9-10 people. And our church is going to help them pay their utilities through the winter. I say to God be the glory. To God be the glory. It'll help us. You say, preacher, do you think that I could maybe give someone a flyer or give someone a gospel tract? Yes, I do. I believe you could. But not until we get out of our comfort zone. You think, preacher, I could really, I could learn how to take the Bible and actually be comfortable telling somebody about Jesus? Yeah, but you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone to do that. I'm going to make a statement tonight. You may not understand it, but I know full well what I'm talking about. I know men that are very comfortable in the pulpit that are very uncomfortable talking to a person one-on-one about their soul. That shouldn't be that way. If it's a good enough message to proclaim from this pulpit, it ought to be a good enough message to stand on somebody's front doorstep and tell them, amen, about Jesus, about the cure for sin. I read this today and I thought it was good. It said a true heart of compassion will let those on the way to destruction know that they can escape. But the only escape is through Jesus Christ. We need to tell people they're in trouble with God and that God alone has provided a way to escape. But how? Do we all have to share the gospel the same way? No. The unbelieving world is made up of a variety of people, young, old, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, urban, rural, with different race, personalities, values, politics, and religious backgrounds. It's going to take more than one style of evangelism to reach such a diverse population. Now, let me elaborate on that for just a moment. You'll see these examples in the Bible. The question is asked, what is your style? The first one is confrontational, question mark. You say, preacher, do you think that it's all right at times to be confrontational? Well, ask Jesus. He told a bunch of people, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? If you ever go witnessing with me, go out knocking on doors, I'm not one of those that knocks on the door when somebody answers the door and says, you're going to hell if you don't get right with God. I'm not. That was my phone. Of all people, I won't tell you who that is. He ought to know where I am right now. But anyway. But you know, still yet, there's that thing of just confronting people with the truth, with the gospel. And I love the words Brother Steve mentioned with compassion, because the Bible said speaking the truth in love. I've heard people talk to people like they were glad they were going to hell. There's something wrong with that picture. Confrontational. You know, in Acts chapter 2, it said repent and be baptized. Intellectual. You remember in Acts chapter 17 where Paul had a discussion and debated with the philosophers on Mars Hill. Do you remember that? To convince them of their need of Christ. He said, well, preacher, how'd that work out? I'll tell you how it worked out. Some of them mocked him. And when you and I go, some are going to mock us. And some put it off. They said, we'll hear you again of this matter. Howbeit some men clave unto him and believed. That's what the Word of God said. That was the result of that intellectual presentation. Testimonial. You say, preacher, what do you mean? How many in here say, you know it, glory to God, you got a testimony? You say, preacher, what, where do you find that in the Bible? How many remembers the blind man? John chapter number 9, Jesus healed the man. And they came and said, you tell us how you see. This man, we know he's a sinner. They're talking about Jesus. That goes show what they know. And the blind man said, listen, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. He was giving them his testimony. And then there's that relational. He said, preacher, what's that mean? Well, it means like Zach has cousins. And he goes out and invites them to come to the house of God. How many remembers when the maniac at Gadara got saved? Where did he want to go? How many knows where he wanted to go? How many remembers where he wanted to go? Where did he want to go, Brother Wayne? He wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus told him no. He said, I want you to go home. And I want you to tell your friends how great things the Lord had done for thee. Go tell your family. Go tell your friends. Go tell them. And then there was what we call invitational. Brother Steve, I think you mentioned, did you mention the woman at the well a while ago, the Samaritan woman? You remember when she went back to the city and she begged them to come see a man that told me all things ever that I did. Is not this the Christ? And the Bible said many believed on him for the saying of the woman. That's what the Bible said. Many. They could see a change in her life. They could see a change in her attitude. They could see a change in her speech. And then serving. I thought about our ladies that make things, especially the quilt. I walked through the quilting room this morning to fill my thing on the side of my coffee maker up with water in the sink over there. And looked at that quilt that's laying out there. The Word of God talked about Dorcas in Acts chapter number 9, how she impacted her city by doing good deeds
deeds of kindness. Don't think you're a second-class citizen or a Christian because you don't proclaim Christ like Peter or Paul. Discover your own method. Then get out of your comfort zone and use it for the glory of God. I tell you, we have more ways to communicate now than we've ever had in any generation. And we're probably doing less communicating the gospel than we ever have. I hope tonight the message is being received and that it's just a challenge. Even pastors, don't they, Brother Randy, get comfortable? While our community is going to hell without God. Get comfortable. While men and women, boys and girls, continually coming into the service and leaving the service the same way they came in. How many knows what I'm talking about? God wants us to move. He wants to move us from our comfort zone to that compelling zone. I'll give you this and I'm done tonight. A man by the name of George Sweeting, in his book, The No Guilt Guide for Witnessing, he told of a man by the name of John Currier, who in 1949 was found guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison. Later, he was transferred and paroled to work on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee. In 1968, Currier's sentence was terminated, and a letter bearing the good news was sent to him. But John Currier never saw the letter, nor was he told anything about it. Life on that farm was hard and without promise for the future. Yet John kept doing what he was told, even after the farmer for whom he worked had died. 10 years went by. Then a state parole officer learned about Currier's plight. He found him. And he told him that his sentence had been terminated. He was a free man. Sweeting concluded his story by asking, "Would it matter to you if someone sent you an important message? The most important in your life?" And year after year, the message was never delivered. We who have heard the good news and experience freedom through Christ are responsible to proclaim it to others still enslaved by sin. Are we doing all we can to make sure that people get the message? I'll lead off in that response tonight. No. I can only speak for one person. But in my heart of hearts, I know that I'm not doing all I can to make sure that people get the message. Is hell real tonight? Is heaven real tonight? May God make both places real in our heart. May God make that supper table. Bobby, you haven't been here just a little while, honey, but in my ministry in the last several years, prison, I've talked about it. You remember when that table was all the way across your front porch? I don't know how many tables were end to end. There had to be 6, 7. That house was probably 75 or 80 foot long at least, and there were tables all the way across her front porch, and all the food was set down through the middle. And by the time we just all stood, we asked the blessing and we started a rotation around the table. By the time I got back to my chair, I was finished and ready for dessert. I found out I could eat more standing up. I was doing good on the move. Amen. I had my plate. But I don't know how many times it's entered my mind, Brother Houston. If that table, just with our family, a few friends, just a few, if it left that kind of mark in my life, Brother Crystal, what will it be like when we sit down at his table? What will it be like? I tell you what I hope. I hope all my family will be there. Don't you? I hope little Olivia will grow up. Avery and Aaron, Brother John, I told them yesterday. They told me they'd be here this morning. And I'm not fussing at them. They didn't make it for one reason or another. But oh, how we need to see folks saved. Here's something I found out in life. Bear with me just a minute. If I'll do what God wants me to do, I may not be the one that reaches my loved ones. But Brother Rose, God will send somebody. God will see to it. He'll honor obedience. Amen. What was that line in that song, Brother Anthony? But Abraham obeyed God, and God honored him. And I tell you what God will do in our church if we'll just obey God. If we'll say, Lord, we'll give an invitation in a minute. Here'd be a good prayer. God, would you make me uncomfortable in my comfort zone? How many believe that'd be a good prayer to pray tonight? Because if you make me uncomfortable, how many knows the story about the eagle in the nest? This just came to my heart and my mind. The Bible talked about the eagle stirreth up the nest. There comes a time when that baby eagle needs to fly. Right? And that mama eagle will bring that food. But there comes a time when, honey, that mama will stir up that nest. She'll kick that baby eagle out. That baby eagle don't have no idea what to expect. Well, it's a good illustration. But when that baby eagle sets them wings, I believe that baby eagle, Brother John, says something like this, boy, this is neat. And if God could help us tonight out of the nest, out of our comfort zone, I believe some of us would be coming in saying, man, this is awesome. This is neat. Amen. This is wonderful to know that you had a little part. Had a little part in somebody else's life. Down through the years, Brother Larry, you've pastored different places. God's let you have a little part. You and Miss Jade in people's lives. What will it be like, Brother Larry, when you sit down at the table? God lets some of them people sit where you could see them. Brother Randy, you've had a little part. Brother Randy, I've been where you are. The devil's a liar. He'll try to just get you to remember anything that's negative and forget about all those that you had a little part. Am I right or am I wrong? Had a little part. May God the Holy Spirit stir up the nest. It's y'all's fault I'm preaching this tonight. You received that the other Sunday night so well. God said, turn it loose. They'll take it. They'll take it. They love me. And they love people. And they won't sit there inside of four walls and let a community die without God and go to hell. Let's pray. Father, Thank you tonight for the privilege to preach the Word of God. Thank you, God, tonight for our people. Stir us up tonight, Lord. Lord, I just remembered the passage where Peter was getting ready to leave out, and he said he wanted to stir us up by way of remembrance. Help us to remember, Lord, when we became a servant. Help us to remember, Lord, that supper time is upon us. Help us to remember, Lord, that when sinners leave this world without Jesus, they're in trouble with God. They'll never have another opportunity to be saved. Lord, I'm begging you tonight, take me out of my comfort zone. Thank you for stirring my heart.